Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I just want to start out this morning by saying Happy Hanukkah. I didn't get much of a reply. Happy Hanukkah. There are people all over the world right now, actually since last Sunday, that are celebrating this thing called Hanukkah. It's an 8-day celebration where Jewish people are getting together with their families. They're lighting the menorah. They're eating a lot of good food. They're celebrating with gifts. And I take it from the lack of response that maybe you're not celebrating Hanukkah this year. Well, maybe you just don't understand what Hanukkah is all about. Just a really quick history lesson for Hanukkah here this morning. About 300 BC, 300 years before Jesus, Alexander the Great was in the middle of his great conquest of the entire known world. And one of those places that he conquered 300 years before Jesus was actually the land of Israel. A little over 100 years later, one of those Greek kings in the line of Alexander the Great came to the throne, and his name was Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes saw the Jewish people as a rebellious people, and he sought to discourage them and make them obey their Greek leaders and make them worship their great gods. And so he came into Jerusalem. He slaughtered the Jews that were in rebellion to him, and he desecrated the holy Jewish temple. He did two absolutely horrendous things in that temple. First of all, he slaughtered an unclean pig on that Jewish altar, and he erected a statue of the Greek false god Zeus inside of the holy temple. Now, from this abomination, Jewish men rose up in opposition to this. Chief among them was a man named Judas Maccabeus. He led a revolt against the oppressors called the Maccabean Revolt. And miraculously, this band of only about 6,000 Jewish men drove back and defeated the much bigger and better trained Greek army. Following this miraculous victory, Judas Maccabeus entered the temple of God to rededicate it to the Lord. They tore down that foul statue of Zeus, and they went to light the menorah once again. But they found that they only had just a little bit of oil. But they decided to light the menorah anyway, knowing that that amount of oil would probably only last them a day. But the story goes that once again, miraculously, that menorah stayed lit for 8 days. To put that in perspective for us here in the 21st century, let's say that you've got a phone that says low battery and you have no way to charge your phone, but 8 days later, you're still able to use your phone. That is basically what happened to that menorah all of those years ago. So like I said, to this day, Jews around the world light their menorahs in their house to celebrate this victory and the rededication of the temple through this 8-day celebration called Hanukkah. Now, you might be saying to yourself, that's a really nice history lesson, Pastor Clark, but what does that have to do with us here today, Christians living in the 21st century? Well, if you look at our gospel lesson for today, it starts out with these words. It says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade." So Jesus had gone back to Jerusalem like he did many times over throughout his life. This time he was going back because there was a festival of dedication. Now, what was that? Well, we have a clue up there. It says it was during the winter time. What would be a time that they would be celebrating the rededication of something? You know what this was? Jesus, as a good Jewish young man, had gone back to Jerusalem to celebrate Hanukkah. This is the one time in the Bible that Hanukkah is mentioned. And Jesus had gone back to celebrate this festival that we just talked about of rededication of the temple to the Lord. And so Jesus is walking through what is called Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's porch. And he has this kind of tense interaction between him and the Jewish leaders of the day. It says, the Jews who were there gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from my Father. Of which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. I told you this was tense. During this festival of rededication that we know as Hanukkah today, they picked up stones to stone Jesus to death. And Jesus says, why are you stoning me? And what's their reply? We are not stoning you for any good work that you've done, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. That's something called blasphemy. And that is a terrible offense if you are not God. Did Jesus claim to be God? The reason I ask that question is because there are people today and there are whole religions that would answer that question, no. They would say Jesus was a good person. He may have even been a prophet. But this whole idea that he was God in the flesh, that came a lot later. That was through his followers. But what does Scripture say? Did Jesus claim to be God? Well, let's go back. Why did they want to stone Jesus on Hanukkah? Because he said this, I and the Father, God the Father, are one. Kind of sounds like he's saying he's God. If you go back two chapters, it says Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. And what did they do? At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Why are they stoning him? Because he said, before Abraham was born, I am. What was he saying? Well, over 1,000 years before that, Moses had had this interaction with God speaking through a burning bush. And when Moses said, when I go back to Egypt and I rescue your people, if they ask what your name is, what do I tell them? And God, through the burning bush, said to him, tell them, I am sent you. And so when Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am, the Jewish people knew what he was saying. He was saying that that guy over 1,000 years ago that was in that burning bush speaking to Moses, that was me. If that's not true, That's blasphemy, and that's why they picked up stones to stone him. And then we have John 14. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? And after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Once again, the same message. I and the Father are one. He's not saying that he was the Father. He was saying that he and the Father are part of that one Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So did Jesus claim to be God? He absolutely did. Now, should it have been a surprise to Jewish people that there would be a man that came to this earth that would be God? It shouldn't have been, because one of those prophecies that we look at on this week leading up to Christmas is from Isaiah 7 that says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God says this will be a sign to the whole world that a virgin will miraculously conceive a child and you will call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God has come to live among us through this child. There would be a child that would come that would be God himself. And what was Jesus saying? That child, that's I. Now, what can you do with a statement like that? About 100 years ago, C.S. Lewis, a great theologian from the 20th century, said you can basically only do 3 things with statements like that. You can either say he was a liar. He knew he wasn't God come in the flesh, but he wanted to trick everyone into believing it. Secondly, he was a lunatic. He actually thought he was God, he just wasn't. Or the third option is, he was and is who he said he was and is. He is the Lord. He is God come in the flesh to save his people from their sins. Back to Hanukkah. So this whole conversation is taking place during Hanukkah, the feast of dedication of the temple. There's no temple anymore, is there? There's no temple in Jerusalem. How do we celebrate the rededication of the temple? Well, look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "Do you not know that now your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." What is he saying? He's saying now that Jesus came, now that your sins have been washed away, God is no longer going to abide in a temple made of stone. Now you've been washed clean so that God can come and abide in you. You are the temple of God. So the question is, on this celebration of Hanukkah, how can I dedicate where the temple is now, me? Well, look at what it says in John 6. "Then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the works God requires?' Jesus answered, 'The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.'" If I want to go about rededicating this temple, what is first and foremost? If I want to rededicate this temple, God tells me the way to do that is to believe in the one God sent, his son, Jesus Christ. This was the problem on that Hanukkah during Jesus' time on this earth. They didn't believe. What keeps us from believing that? Well, I think this is the first thing that keeps us from believing. Simply a refusal to believe. Now, hopefully there aren't a whole lot of you here today that refuse to believe everything that the Bible says. But there might be a few of you that were pulled along to church here this morning. Maybe a few of you that are having to listen online or on the radio here this morning that really don't believe all of this. Could it be that you're just refusing to believe? Why would I say that? Because it says in Romans 1, what may be known about God is plain to people because God has made it plain to us. In many different ways, God has made it plain to people who He is. From the world out there, from the sense of right and wrong that I have on my heart, and from all the things that God has done in this world and in your own personal life, there is absolutely no reason not to believe that it's all true. It made me think of a book that was written a few years ago called God Doesn't Believe in Atheists. Now, most of the time we would think atheists don't believe in God, but actually God doesn't believe in atheists because of Romans 1 up there. There is no such thing as a person that doesn't believe in God because everyone in their hearts knows who He is. We just refuse to believe in Him. Remember what Jesus said, I have done all of these works in front of you. There's no reason not to believe. And He could say the same thing about each and every one of us as well. So it's not that we don't believe, but maybe you say, well, okay, granted, but my faith is really weak. Well, there's something we can do about that. In Romans 10, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. If your faith is weak and you're having a hard time believing with your whole heart everything that the Bible says about Jesus, put yourself around the Word of God. And as Catherine said a little bit ago, we have a great opportunity to do that starting on January 1st, where we're actually going to be reading as a congregation through the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, cover to cover. We're going to be reading through the whole Bible. And so I hope that you pick up one of those bookmarks that is going to lead us day by day from January through the end of March. And then we'll be handing out those bookmarks every quarter for the next 2 years. What keeps us from believing? The first thing is simply a refusal to believe. And why do we refuse to believe sometimes? Because each of us knows that if we acknowledge God and everything He has said in His Word, it's going to necessarily mean certain changes to my life. And most of us, by nature, do not want changes to our life. I think we see this in 1 John chapter 3, where it says once again, and this is His command. Where does it all start? To believe in the name of His Son. And when you begin to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and everything in the Bible is true, then it affects the way we live our life. And that's the second part. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and then to love one another as He has commanded us. When you believe in Jesus, when you put your trust in all that He did, coming to this earth as that little baby, and then growing up, living a perfect life, dying on that cross, washing away all of our sins, giving us a fresh start in life, then what are you going to do with that fresh start? You're going to take it and say, God, now this time, I want you to lead it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to do the works that you put me here on this earth to do. And what are those works? To love one another as he has commanded us. This is the essence of rededicating these temples to the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 8, where King Solomon is dedicating the temple made of stone to the Lord, look at what it says was done that day. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. Solomon offered a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to the Lord, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the Israelites dedicated the temple of the Lord. How did they dedicate the temple? Through a whole lot of sacrifices. That cost them a lot, didn't it? Hundreds of thousands of animals sacrificed to dedicate the temple. How do we dedicate this temple to the Lord? Well, through the same way. In Romans 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what he did through Jesus, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In light of all that God has done, how do we rededicate this temple? Through sacrifice. We say, God, I have been doing life my way up until this point. But during this Hanukkah season leading up to Christmas and this new year, a time of resolutions, I rededicate this temple to you. And I know that it's going to be sacrifices because oftentimes you're going to want to do things differently than I do. But for all that you've done for me, I'm yours. In light of this whole message here today, I thought it would be appropriate for us, as we finish this message, to speak together a prayer of rededication, rededicating these temples of our bodies to the Lord. Would you say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you came down from heaven that first Christmas to save us from our sins. I believe you completed your task when you said, "It is finished," from the cross. I believe that you rose again and are now seated at the Father's right hand, watching over us and guiding us by your Spirit to do those things that are pleasing to you. I rededicate myself to you, Jesus, for all that you are and for all that you've done for me. I give my life to you. Use me to bring glory to the Father and to your name. May the world experience your light because of me. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.